greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
For me, it's a great honor to receive my third golden ball. The emotion is like the first one. It's the dreaming come true again. I never thought in my mind to win four times the Golden Ball. So I'm so pleased, I'm so happy. I have opportunity to thank all my teammates, the national team, Real Madrid, all the people, all the players who helped me to win this individual award, this individual trophy. So as can you imagine, I feel so proud and happy to receive this amazing and beautiful ball, so I'm so happy.
A happy Cristiano Ronaldo, who won the Ballon d'Or award as the best football player in the world. The 31-year-old Ronaldo led Portugal to its first European championship in 2016, and he also won another UEFA Champions League trophy with Real Madrid. As Ronaldo said, this is the fourth time he's held that Golden Ball trophy, which this year was handed out by the magazine France Football, separately from FIFA, World Football's governing body. Ronaldo won the FIFA award in 2008 while playing for Manchester United, and he also won the Ballon d'Or prize in 2013 and 2014. Cristiano Ronaldo might be honored again on January 9th when FIFA holds its annual awards ceremony in Zurich, Switzerland. Ronaldo is on the three-man shortlist for FIFA's World Player of the Year, along with Lionel Messi of Argentina and Barcelona, as well as Antoine Griezmann of France and Atletico Madrid. Yes, it's been a big year for Cristiano Ronaldo. It's also been big for his bank account. He recently re-signed with Real Madrid with a five-year contract through 2021 that will pay him millions of dollars. And Ronaldo also scored again financially when he signed a lifetime contract with the sportswear giant Nike.
I look this new contract for a life. I'm a member of the family, but I have to say the Nike, it's the best. For me, in my opinion, point of view, it's the best. They do things that no one can do it. I have great relationship with this brand. I have great friends here in the company. They have, you know, specific people who work with me. So this is means a lot for me because I can give my feedback to them, they can listen my opinion. So we work as a family too. They have very imaginative and they do it unbelievable things, and they do it sometimes as surprises, and I like surprises. So this is my brand. You know, Nike, they are smart and they know to pick the best ones. So I'm happy because I'm one of them. Means the best contract that I have in my whole career. Many people tell me, I cannot see you with another brand. You are a Nike man.
Nike man, Real Madrid man, and Portugal man, Cristiano Ronaldo. Olympic champion Wade Van Niekerk was the big winner at this year's South African Sports Awards ceremony in Bloemfontein. The 24-year-old from Cape Town took home three awards: Sports Star of the Year, Sportsman of the Year, and the People's Choice Award. At the Rio Olympics in Brazil in August, Wade Van Niekerk ran the fastest 400 meters in history, clocking a sensational 43.03 seconds. Looking back on his gold medal winning achievement, Van Niekerk says he's blessed to be an Olympic champion.
It's amazing. I think it's something that I'm really grateful for, and I give the Lord full credit for blessing me with the talent that he's given me and giving me the discipline to follow through with it.
World record holder Wade Van Niekerk followed through with the fastest lap ever, a spectacular run in which he defeated former Olympic champions Kerani James of Grenada and LaShawn Merritt of the USA.
No, it was amazing. I mean, it was quality athletes that I competed against. It was a very, very challenging experience coming out here 3 days back-to-back racing each other. And yeah, I'm just grateful that I can tick off the world record under my name. It's a real blessing.
The South African athlete also says it's a real blessing to receive so many congratulatory messages and phone calls, including one from Jamaican star Usain Bolt after his world record run.
I'm overwhelmed by all the quality and amazing sports stars all over the world coming out and congratulating me. It's something I really cherish.
One woman who really cherishes Wade Van Niekerk's accomplishments is Odessa Swartz, Wade's mother. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2016, let's listen in again to an interview reporter Haiti Fitzpatrick did with Odessa Swartz. Haiti reached Odessa in Cape Town and asked her, "What was your reaction to your son's gold medal winning world record run?"
Well, it's still such a surreal feeling. It feels like I'm still dreaming. It's an emotion that I just cannot explain. If you ask me what was going through my mind during the race, I have no idea, because all that I remember is when everything was done, I was standing on someone else's chair, banging on their head and screaming my lungs out. So I can't remember what went through my head at that time.
I had read some things about, you know, you and Wade as I was doing some research, and I came across a story about the complications there were when Wade was born. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, Wade was born at 29 weeks. He weighed just over 1 kg, and when he was born with jaundice, and he had a bit of a blood infection, and they had to do a blood transfusion. And they gave us about 24 hours. They said after the 24 hours, he might have one or the other disability. But the Lord was good, and he's world champion today. He's always been a fighter. I mean, in that first 24 hours of his life, he fought so hard. We've never, ever had problems with him being ill as he grew up as a child. I mean, when he was 18, the first time we had him at the doctor's when he had German measles. And, I mean, we were told in that first 24 hours of his life that he might not make it.
When you think about that and you look at what he has accomplished at such a young age, what goes through your mind?
Just pride, because he's just a never say die type of person. I mean, he's always been smaller than his friends at school. He's always been a skinny little boy, but he never stood back for any challenge. I mean, give him any challenge and he would take it, and he'll take you on. And I mean, it just makes you proud as a parent when you see that fighting spirit within in him as a person, but also with that strong personality of him. He's also such a soft, gentle-hearted person. So, yeah, it just makes you very proud when I look at him today, and just to think that I might have lost him when he was just born.
What does it mean for you, and an accomplished athlete yourself, to see your son go and compete in places that you were denied in the past just because of the time and the politics in South Africa then?
When I look at any person, whether you're South African or no matter where you come from in the world, a lot of us, we don't grab hold of the opportunities that we get in life. And I mean, when I look at him, he's been given this opportunity, he's been given this talent. When I look at him, how hard he works every single day. Come winter or summer, come rain or sunshine, he'll be at that track. He'll be in the gym in the morning. We didn't have all those opportunities that they have today. We can't compare ourselves to that now. I mean, like I always tell people, that was a generation that was meant for us, and this is a generation meant for them. I think we were just meant to be the parents of this great generation that's coming through at the moment. And as parents, we can support them in whatever they want to achieve in life at the moment. And I mean, and that's what we're trying to do as parents, because the world is just the oyster at the moment. And I mean, they can either make it or they can break it. It's their choice. He's chosen to make the best of his talents, and he's chosen to give it his all. I mean, he's so committed, and he's just reaping the fruits of him today.
Mrs. Swartz, was there ever a moment in Wade's athletic career where it looked like this could be the end? Was there a moment where things went bad for him, something that he had to overcome?
Oh, yeah, a couple of years ago when he qualified for the London Olympics, he pulled his hamstring. And I mean, it was a very, very tough phase in his life. He went to rehab and he worked so hard. And then the hamstring was just very persistent. It just kept on coming back. And I mean, there was a time when he said, I don't think I want to go on with athletics. I think I'll rather leave it because his hamstring is just not getting better. And then someone like your tiny aunt walked into his life and decided, let's then move on to a 400-meter program and let's just completely heal this hamstring. And I mean, see how things have changed for him. And he was about to give up because he was just sick and tired of his hammy that's just not getting better.
Knowing his talent, and you've had a front row seat to what it has taken to help get Wade to the top where he is now, what are your hopes for him for the future? If you had one piece of advice for him, what would that be?
That he never stops dreaming, because he's such a big dreamer, and because he's such a big dreamer, he works towards those dreams, and he's a person that will make his dreams a reality. So I would just tell him never to stop dreaming and never stop achieving.
Never stop dreaming and never stop achieving. That's Odessa Swartz, the mother of South Africa's world and Olympic champion runner Wade Van Niekerk. And she was speaking from Cape Town, South Africa, with reporter Heidi Fitzpatrick.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you Wednesday night at 18:30 GMT UTC with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. The Africa Beach Soccer Cup of Nations tournament is kicking off today, Tuesday, in Lagos, Nigeria. In one of the opening day matches, Ghana is going against Ivory Coast. The youthful Black Sharks of Ghana are hoping to take a bite out of some of the bigger fish in the competition, as we hear now from reporter Oral Ofori.
The national beach soccer team of Ghana, Black Sharks, are in Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria, to begin their quest to qualify for the Beach Soccer World Cup, Bahamas 2017. A contingent of 16 players and 5 officials arrived safely from the short flight from Accra and have settled at the Victoria Island Resort ahead of their opening game against the Ivory Coast. Ghana brought one of the youngest squads in the competition and will be hoping that the firepower and youthful energy, as well as versatility on the sand, will give them an advantage over the more experienced Ivory Coast, Egypt and host Nigeria in Group A. With only 2 slots for Africa, the competition is bound to be one of the fiercest so far, as Senegal, Morocco, Libya, and African champions Madagascar are also going to slug it out in Group B. President of the B Soccer Association of Ghana, Yawampo Foankra, believes that the quiet and almost anonymous preparations by the team due to the just-ended election campaign in Ghana has helped shield the players from the pressure of qualifying for Bahamas 2017.
Ghana's obviously underdogs, and it's okay. We're happy to be underdogs in this competition. I think it takes a lot of the pressure off. The Libyans are coming here talking big. We're not in the same group as Libya, but it looks like everybody's talking about them, which is fine. We're happy to be under the radar until we meet the Ivory Coast. I think we're ready. It's going to be tough. For my African champions, it won't be easy, but the boys are really motivated. And I think this year has seen the year of the underdog. And I think with the Black Sharks players, as young as they are, in a group of death with the host nation, Nigeria, and the North African giants, Egypt, we don't need to fear. So the boys are ready, and I'm confident that we will make Ghana proud.
That was Hia Ampofu Ankra, president of Ghana Beach Soccer. Ghana is the lowest-ranked team at the Beach Soccer African Cup of Nations and are seen as the dark horses. Orel Ofori reporting for VOA Sports.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Getting back to the 2016 Africa Beach Soccer Cup of Nations tournament in Nigeria, the semifinals are scheduled for December 17th in Lagos, and the final on December 18th, also in Lagos. As Orel Ofori mentioned, the two teams that progress to the final will book places at the 2017 FIFA Beach Soccer World Cup in the Bahamas. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What is trending on this Tuesday in the sports world?
Well, let's jump back to what we were talking about yesterday with the Champions League matchups in those round of 16s. And we talked about two of the matchups that have happened quite a bit over the past few years. But I want to talk about one that hasn't happened in nearly 40 years, and that's matchup between Manchester United and Saint-Étienne. Now, this matchup hasn't happened since 1977, but the reason why it's making headlines in addition to that is because who's playing on those two teams? On Manchester United, you have Paul Pogba, of course, very well known in the soccer world. On Saint-Étienne, you have Florentin Pogba. Now, no coincidence that they have the same last name because they are brothers.
Sibling rivalry!
Ultimate sibling rivalry, as people are saying. A lot of talk about how they're going to match up and face off against each other. And it brings to mind, you know, people on social media, other matchups, especially in the U.S., Eli Manning and Peyton Manning, the two quarterbacks that played in the National Football League against each other. Venus and Serena Williams, of course. That's probably the ultimate sibling rivalry in sports. So they're going to make Paul and Florentin a run at that and see if they can create their own little sibling rivalry going on in the Champions League.
Interesting. I know the Man U Pogba has earned headlines this year. Is he worth all that money they're paying him? And another high-priced footballer, Cristiano Ronaldo, making headlines, right, Andrew? I guess he's trending also?
For sure, earning his fourth Ballon d'Or award. We heard from him earlier in the show, a little soundbite, but he tweeted out after he won that award, he said, "So happy and glad to win. Thanks, Real Madrid and Portugal national team. Amazing year." And you look at the stats, and he really did have an amazing year with the tournaments he played in, the goals he scored, and fans really emphasizing that on social media. However, there is the eternal debate, and I think it's going to continue, you know, for years and years on end. Messi versus Ronaldo, who is better? Of course, Lionel Messi has 5 Ballon d'Or awards. Ronaldo only has the 4. Only 4, right? Like, as though that's anything anyone can do. So this back and forth with the fans, especially the Messi fans, saying, okay, yeah, he won, but he's not near our guy. Our guy still has the best of him.
Well, I think from a team aspect in 2016, Andrew, Cristiano Ronaldo might have the upper hand on Lionel Messi. Portugal winning the European Championship in France, and also Real Madrid winning another UEFA Champions League title. I don't think Messi can say that on his end, that his country won a major title. They came close at the Copa. They reached the final, but they lost to Chile on penalty kicks. So Messi maybe has to prove himself some more.
Maybe. And in fact, Ronaldo had a comment for a French news outlet that maybe alludes to some of the success that his team has had. And a couple people picked up on social media. He said, you know, if Lionel Messi and I were on the same team, I might have won more Ballon d'Or awards. So maybe throwing a little bit of shade there, saying, you know what, my team did a little better. Even though he had five and I have four, we've had more team success this year on the teams I played on. So an interesting comment, but it seemed, maybe it wasn't intended that way, because he said that Lionel Messi is a good friend of his and they get along well. So I don't know if he intended it for be a little bit snarky like that, but that's certainly how people on social media are reading into it.
I think personality-wise, they are kind of two different players. Messi, perhaps a little more reserved than Cristiano Ronaldo, who likes to, you know, take his shirt off after he scores those big goals.
Yes, as much for the modeling as for the football play, for sure.
What else is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, we're still in our current football season, American football season here in the U.S., so we won't play the Super Bowl until February, but the NFL is already looking to next season, the 2017-2018 season, and they've announced the four games that they will be playing in London in the fall of 2017. That'll be the New Orleans Saints against the Miami Dolphins, the Baltimore Ravens against the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Minnesota Vikings against the Cleveland Browns, and the Arizona Cardinals versus the Los Angeles Rams. Now, it's interesting they're announcing this so early. There's a lot of kind of parsing of this information that fans are doing, and a lot of what I'm seeing on social media is the sentiment that this is the worst set of overseas games yet that the NFL has put out. These teams are not necessarily known as powerhouses. The Cleveland Browns, for instance, have yet to win this season. They may go the season 0-16. The Los Angeles Rams just fired their head coach because of their poor play this season. So there's a lot of questions as to why the NFL has picked these teams. Now, some keen sports observers and social media say, well, maybe they're trying to gain interest outside of those big name teams. You know, the New England Patriots, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New York Giants, those teams that are known more throughout the world. Maybe they're trying to expand it to some different fan bases, get some different fans on. Others are saying it doesn't matter who's playing. Those stadiums are still going to sell out. They always sell out. So whether they're trying to bring new interest in or just trying to stick whoever on the schedule because they know those stadiums are going to fill up anyway, it's interesting as to why they picked these teams. And there's going to be a lot of debate about that until they play. I think the first of these matchups is in September of 2017. So we've got about 10 months to parse through this before they play.
Andrew, you mentioned those Patriots. I know they're not one of your favorite clubs with the Jets, but the Patriots were victorious on Monday night. They beat the England-bound Baltimore Ravens 30-23. Tom Brady, the star quarterback for New England, three touchdown passes. And I'm trying to get my math right, Andrew. I think that was his 202nd career victory by
something like
Mr.
that.
Brady.
I'm certainly not counting. But, now, just speaking, though, of the New England Patriots, they are actually, the NFL announced that they will be playing at the game in Mexico next season. They will be playing the Oakland Raiders. So maybe trying to move a team down to Mexico that they can get a fan base down there. I believe the Oakland Raiders played in the Mexico game this year, so maybe a bit of a tradition there, having that Oakland team playing in Mexico City.
NFL trying to expand its league brand, so to speak, almost.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk about that. We'll see if it continues, if they maybe schedule more games in the future.
LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers superstar. I think he's also trending, right, Andrew?
He is. He's named Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year, and he's getting a lot of attention for what he is wearing in his cover photo. He's wearing a nice kind of cream-colored suit, but he has a safety pin on his lapel. A lot of people saying, was that a fashion statement, or maybe they forgot to remove it before they did the tailoring. But we talked about LeBron James being a big Hillary Clinton supporter in the election. That safety pin is a symbol for people in the election who maybe feel marginalized to find someone to talk to. So he wore that on the cover, making a powerful political statement, not sitting well with everyone on social media. A lot of people saying he should leave the politics out of it. But like we said, he's been very vocal politically. So he's carrying that over into this sports Person of the Year cover.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the December 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Gender-based violence is a global problem affecting millions of people each year. It threatens lives, undermines families and communities, and impedes the progress and security of nations. And although men and boys also suffer such abuse, the vast majority of victims of gender-based violence are women and girls. In fact, globally, over one-third of women and girls experience some form of physical or sexual violence in their lifetime. Gender-based violence crosses every social and economic class, ethnicity, race, religion, and education level, and transcends international borders. It is violence directed against an individual because of their actual or perceived biological sex or gender identity. And it is a type of discrimination and gender inequality that is perpetuated by the failure of governments and societies to recognize and value the human rights of women and girls. Throughout history, there have been far too many brutal acts of violence against women and girls. While some of these cases have captured international headlines, too often the victims are left to suffer in silence and anonymity, said Secretary of State John Kerry. But increasingly, we have seen efforts to shine a bright light on this issue and spur a strong public response. One such effort to bring the problem of gender-based violence to the forefront is the 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence campaign, an international push to challenge violence against women and girls. It began on November 25th, the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, and ends on December 10th, International Human Rights Day. The campaign makes clear that violence against women and girls is a human rights issue and that everyone can and must act to end it, said Secretary of State Kerry. We must speak out against violence. We must support survivors and commemorate the victims. And we must stand together in our commitment to end violence against women and girls in all its forms. Together, we can and will make the progress needed to eliminate this scourge on our society.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Tuesday on Health Chat, Global Health and Human Rights. We will explore the right to health and health-related human rights. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best. Yes, sir. Two-Face.
Nato C. Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.